a good evening on the phone. We want to make sure you have the cell number for texting questions. The number is 801-541-9181. That's 801-541-9181. So if you have any questions, please feel free to text one to us. We're just about ready to get started. The broadcast is beginning. The broadcast is live. It seems like every time I go live, I kick off everybody who was on, and it'll take just a moment for them to come back on. So those on the phone, if you'll bear with us just for a moment, well, we gather all of those who are on the video with us that we have lost here for just a moment or two. It's good to be back with you. We missed you last Tuesday night. Last Tuesday evening, we were with Chad Wade's family for his viewing and preparation for the funeral on Wednesday. Very sad and introspective week as we buried Justin Yates on Monday and then Chad on Wednesday. And it's been great to kind of feel their energy around as we're regrouping and all catching our breaths and deciding how it is we're going to press forward without these two giants in our life. It's been a very sobering few days. Well, it's good to be with you. Tonight we're going to take on a very powerful topic. I'm so excited to be with you to do this. You know, when we talk about creation, and we're at a time when it's so important that we understand these principles. Things aren't working the way they used to. There certainly seems to be an awful lot of firestorms raging around people's lives. And even those who are fortunate to have good paying jobs have anxieties about maybe being laid off or their market slowing down. This is a time to do everything in our power to stay in that creative space. And we know that the creation of our dreams, or the creation of anything, requires two different stages, and they are very, very different. I'm going to share them with you tonight, the second half of it, but reviewing the first. We create things in our mind, and there's a reason why. Because we are built physiologically for this kind of an approach, this kernel of truth about how vivid visualization helps create tangible reality. It doesn't create it, it helps in the creation of. Because when we go into this space called mental creation, and we are there with this intention, the intention is to lift and build others. Our intention is to engage in life and to embrace principles, to connect and lift and build and create value and contribute to the world. And that's our intention. And then we employ this vivid visualization to get clarity around how to do that. We're given inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems. This is a key. I say this a lot, and we hear it a lot, but there's a key to this. When I talk about the fact that if we were wired to a functional MRI, and we have one of these inspired ideas, parts of our brain would light up that we normally don't use. This is, in a very real sense, igniting a passion and excitement around the tangible creation of this thing which we have seen so clearly in our mind. Absent this moment, everything we do is boring and mundane and repetitious and burdensome. It's hard. This is a key piece. Because creation does require physical action, effort, focus, results. It requires this second half we're going to talk about tonight. But how we actually do this second half depends entirely on how we do the first. If we engage in fantasy because we want to escape from life, we want to avoid stress and pain and frustration and what this life of ease, We can never ignite this passion. Passion being that willingness to suffer, to do the work of something we love, something we've seen so clearly in our mind. Can't do it. Fantasy never ignites that part of our brain that lights up our passion. It just can't do it. Because the very premise is we want to escape all the work of it. We just want to get to the time when we're there and what it'll be like then. And in that desire to be there, we're violating the very principles that create the passion. So when we talk about creation being a two-stage process, equally important, we don't need to see it to create it physically. We can do the work and create it. But it's going to be so hard without the passion. Now, there's a measurement in your assessments. Those of you who have your assessments in front of you, it's on the right-hand side. It's called pragmatic. Take a look at it. Above that is realistic. Some of these are very similar in the way that they play out. We're splitting some hairs. Pragmatic particularly. We're seeing it orange quite often, which means I'm standing in the here and now, looking up at that which I would like to create, and I'm looking at all the things that will be required, all the things I have to do to get there, and I'm just overwhelmed with the volume of the work. Anybody ever feel that way? This is particularly true when someone has created in tangible reality a business. The economy has damaged it, and now we're rebuilding it. With this thought process, we're looking at all the work of creation, absent the key, passion. The first time through would have been very difficult without passion. That excitement, that vision, that desire to create this intangible reality. So the critical nature of why we want to use our mind constructively is to ignite our passion. That's what we talk about. If you have a big enough why, the how takes care of itself. The how is how do I physically create it? Well, the why is a mental creation driven by that intent to lift and build and serve others. So with that intent, that desire, we now are practicing mental rehearsal, the next event in our life. We're seeking inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path. We're exploring possibilities without making tangible commitments, trying to mitigate as much as possible errors, costly errors. We're problem solving. We're planning. We're goal setting. So when we wake up in the morning, we know precisely why we're doing what we're going to do. Because it's the next step in getting us there to our vision. Now, with this vision, we step into tangible reality, and we begin this process called physical creation. A couple of things. I was chatting with a client earlier this morning, and we were talking about procrastination. Quite often, my procrastination, as Og says, which is born of fear, that procrastination which holds me back. He said, I've learned this secret, mind from the depths of all courageous hearts. Cor, heart, or blood in French. Courageous heart, heart of hearts, the depths of the heart of the most courageous. He learned this secret, and here's the secret. To remove the flutters in my heart, I must act without hesitation. Act without hesitation. Why? How I know that only action reduces that lion of terror to an ant of equanimity, peace of mind. Why? This is a great key to mental creation converted now to physical creation. When we have fears, and many of us do, those are some of the habits of thinking we've been struggling with that we're working on. They hold us back. We act in spite of them, and something really wonderful occurs. Bear with me just for a moment. excuse me, something very wonderful happens. How many of us have been putting off a task that's out here in front of us, screaming at us, do me, ah! We walk by, I'm going to do that on Saturday when I got more time and more energy. I just absolutely commit I will. Saturday after Saturday goes by until we get in trouble. But we're getting closer and closer and closer and closer to a deadline that's immovable. It must be done by this deadline. Presentation on Monday has to be done. So we're working closer and closer and closer and closer. And finally, it is the key. It is screaming louder than the fear is screaming in our mind. And all of a sudden, something happens that is so precious. We jump in and we do the task. And how often do we in that very moment say, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? What just happened? How come this task, which has just been haunting us, was relatively easy? How come this, which we've been putting off, could be done so quickly? What happened? We learned the first and great principle of physical creation, and that is awakening our genius. We are being genuine. We're not suffering from shame, shame coming from sham, like a pillow sham, a covering over our ability. When we shut off the noise in our head and we jump into a task, we show up, the real us, in all of our ability. We show up, all of our genius, our capacity, without doubt and fear and confusion. And what happens? Wow, we're surprised. How long have we been doing this? I'm going to walk through a process here in a few moments for physical creation. There are going to be a number of things we're going to want to do this week. And some of them will require that we just jump in, that we learn that secret mind from the depths of all courageous hearts. That to remove the flutters in our heart, we must act without hesitation. Because when we do, we show up. We show up. In all of our ability, we show up. How exciting is this? And I believe this to be true. If we can fully maximize our gifts, we can actually be endowed with more gifts. Now, use that word carefully. We can be given more gifts. I don't know the giver of gifts is going to give us more if we're not valuing that which we've already been given. It's as if we want someone else to do the work for us. So when we're talking about physical creation, just know that one of the keys is showing up. It helps for us to show up when we are passion-driven. The excitement can help us overcome the fear. We fully use our ability, and we receive more. The next one's really precious. You know, this is a piece that sometimes gets abused. In the abundance world, the doctrine is that if we visualize something with enough intention, it will somehow magically manifest. Well, that's not true. Ideas are, impressions are. When we're in action, fully using all of our ability, then something is manifest. Something beyond us. The force of creation I call God, you can have your name, puts people on our path who we can serve and who can serve us, sometimes in very miraculous ways. that doesn't happen from intentionally thinking about it. It comes from intentionally thinking and getting an inspired idea, and then in action on the idea, on the path, doing the work of it. Fully using our ability. And then we're given that gift. It's a wonderful gift. To have someone placed on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. This is a wonderful thing to have happen. It doesn't happen, nor can it ever happen, sitting in an easy chair, fantasizing about it somehow magically occurring. A tragic interview this morning. My heart is heavy. This person had been listening to a lot of podcasts on this topic of creation. And she said, when I got done sharing with her her measurements, she said, that's a clever idea. That was her phrase. That's a clever idea. Well, tell me more about that. Well, that's diametrically opposed to what everybody else is teaching. I said, yeah, that's true. It's absolutely true. Look at the condition of our country. Look at the condition of the abundance seekers, those of us who have wanted to create more with our lives, those of us who may have used too many credit cards or home equity lines of credit to try to prop up and create prosperity through debt. I don't know that many of us have been exempt. The truth is that you don't create abundance through fantasy. You create abundance through clear vision and intentional action. Passion-driven action. It's hard to hear. It's hard to hear because almost for a decade, and the decade before that a little lesser, and the decade before that, the last 30 years we've seen this trend growing and growing and growing, where people are tickling our ears while they're picking our pockets. You know, you spend $500 for the first event and $5,000 for the next and $15,000 for the next to learn the secrets of becoming a millionaire. Tragic. Secrets are pretty simple. Care about people and step into their world. Use your mind constructively. Stay present in the now. Be disciplined and structured. Be grateful. And have a healthy self-esteem so you can fully show up in the service of others. Watch this unfold. I sound like I'm on a soapbox, I know. But we are at a critical crossroad in this country. I've been writing about this for the last week. It's been most difficult to put on paper. To say it in a way that we can all look at it without taking anything personal. It's so hard. Because to some extent, most of us have engaged in this, I wish it could be easier. And in our attempt to make it easy, we've actually created something that's very hard, with serious consequences. So, I share this with you in terms of fully using your ability and be on the path in creation, physical creation. And then there are miraculous things that can happen that speed up creation to a point that it is happening as fast as it is possible. And anyone that wants to tell you that there's some magical formula beyond this, please be careful. Please. I've been with just too many grown men weeping. But Dave, I can almost touch it. I can almost taste it. Why can't I have it? I can see myself rowing the boat from my island into the mailbox and back and just spending my day doing whatever they dream of doing. The proverbial tropical island where we can tell the world to go to heck in a hat basket because we're sick and tired of the world. Well, creation, by its very nature, is about the world. And I believe we're to learn how to become creators. Og talked to us about this in scroll number 4. He had some very powerful words to say on this topic. I'll just read them to you, if I may. He said, I'm not on this earth by chance. I'm here for a purpose. It's a powerful line. And that purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink to a grain of sand. Grain of sand is when I just want to ease. No more stress, no more pain, leave me alone. Just be a mountain. Henceforth, I will apply all my efforts to become the highest mountain of all, and I will strain my potential until it cries for mercy. How can we do this? Is there a plan? In 2003, I was sitting in our living room, and I wanted to be more present in the now. It was so obvious to me that I spent a lot of time in my mind, in the future, in the past, someplace other than in the present. And I was pondering, what could I do? And I'm going to share with you what came to me that night. I want you to know I did it for a week. I also want you to know it was one of the hardest things I'd ever done. But I created a miracle, and I got a vision. Again, and again, and again. We started inviting clients to do this. It took a little while before somebody actually did it. They created a miracle. Just met them last week. Good to see them again. Cindy Ragsdale did it a second week. Asked for permission to tell her story. Another did it, another did it, another did it. And other people all over the country doing this, sometimes in their offices with their employees, someone on calls on 11 o'clock in the morning, accountability calls. We're watching this start to spread across the country. I'm going to share it with you. So pull out a pen and a paper. This is write this down. I'm going to keep it really simple tonight because it can be a little complicated if you want to make it so. Very first thing when you wake up in the morning, just make sure you're in charge. Make sure you're in charge. You can take a little 3x5 card and write on it, I, quotation marks, that's me, I want to, I get to, I choose to, I will command, and I'll obey my own command. That comes out of scroll number 9 when Og was saying, I hunger for success. I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure and misery and sleepless nights. I will command. I will command. And I will obey my own command. Well, that's what we're doing with this concept. I want to. I'm commanding. I get to. I choose to. I'm in charge. I've got some thought processes that aren't excited about that. They don't want me to be here, but I want to. They want me to be miserable and ornery and frustrated and overwhelmed and depressed. Now go in there. I'm in charge today. I'm in charge today. It's the very first thing you want to do. That's it. Have some fun with that one. Ramona's sitting next to me, and if you could all join me for a moment, I know she won't be able to hear you, but we want to feel this. Let's all wish Ramona a happy birthday. Today's her birthday. Isn't that fun? So glad she was born. I just love it when Ramona's sitting next to me or lying next to me with a pillow over her head going, I want to, I get to, I choose to. Matter of fact, give us a rendition, sweetheart.
I want to, I get to, I choose to.
There you go. We have some fun with this one. So be in charge. Number 2. Feed your mind something really positive. Recommendation is scroll number 5. I'll live this day as if it is my last. A pretty poignant scroll for right now, having just lost 2 dear friends. You know, this isn't as much about the fact we might be dead tomorrow. We could be. We've just all experienced that recently. The death of a friend. But most importantly is today, June 14th, and just another 4.5 hours here in Utah, this day is dead. It's gone. It's gone forever. We don't get it back. We cannot call it back. It's like trying to catch the wind, as Og says. So if we can't, let's seal up its container of life. That's what Og says in Scroll 5. And let not a drop spill upon the sand. I'll spend not a moment mourning yesterday's defeats, yesterday's aches of the heart. For why should I throw good this day after bad? Why make this day a bad day? I got enough bad ones already back there. Why make another one? Let's make this a good one. Then he says, I'll also not spend any time in the future. I'm not going to try to do tomorrow's work while standing in today's path, which simply means I'm not going to sit here on Tuesday night exhausted with something that needs to be done on Friday. Friday's not here yet. Let me stay present in the now. I'm not going to try to put tomorrow's gold in today's purse. Can't be done. It's called fantasy. I fantasize about how much money I'm going to have. But it's not here. I can't put it in today's purse. But I might try. Why should I torment myself over events that may never come to pass? Such wisdom in this particular scroll. Great way to start the day. I will do the work a failure will not do. Ah, love this scroll. Then, we're going to spend just a moment and get grounded on your day. Why am I here? Well, why should I ask that? Well, we've got a day ahead of us. We don't want to let a drop spill upon a sand. What we do today is either going to move us one step closer to our dream or not. Are we going to spend the day in busy work, busy, 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 and not getting anything accomplished? Or are we going to focus on results, moving us one step closer? Are we going to waste part of this day living in the future, what it's going to be like when we're rich, and then being frustrated when life shows up differently? What are we going to choose to do with this day? Let's get grounded. Let's take a look at all the things we've got scheduled for the day. And let's pick three, just three. That's what came to me sitting in the living room. Three things. Now, I said to myself, maybe I should pick more than three. I just had this strong impression, just three. Three. These are going to be called power sessions. Now, all a power session is, I want you to know before I explain this, you're going to have a thought process, as many of you are going to have a thought process that's going to want to go into confusion. Because it doesn't want to get restricted. It doesn't want to be scheduled. It doesn't want to be forced to have to do something. So just watch it go, I don't understand. Just watch it do it already. Just let it go. Just let it go. All the power session is a block of time, about an hour in length, when you show up. You show up. It's kind of like when we're procrastinating and we finally show up. Wow, that wasn't so hard. Our genius is there. We're going to consciously choose three times a day for our genius to show up. We're going to step into people's worlds and listen differently, intrinsically validate them. We're going to be really present. This isn't a big circus event. It's not a big production. The greatest gift we'll give those we love and those with whom we work is ourselves, just showing up, listening, finding good in their ideas, noticing what's important to them and commenting. This is going to be our power sessions. This week, I want you to pick three of them that are dealing with people, three a day. Might have a meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning or make some cold calls at 2 in the afternoon or family event. And I'd like one of them to be family or friend related, something non-work related. If you have a family and there's a good chance you might be at dinner and your family's going, yoo-hoo, over here, because our mind is somewhere else. We're checking our telephone or texting or sending an email. I may have to do that. In a power session, we set it down. We show up. We listen. Step into someone's world. We see needs and we fulfill them. We might help set a table, help do the dishes. Might take care of a child differently. If it's a friend, we might hear a challenge and really show up for them and lift them, build them, bless their life. So one power session, family or friend related, and two that are business related. Now, if your business is being a mom, then that's your business. Whatever it is you do during the course of the day. Now, this is how it looks. Let's say, for an example, at 10 o'clock, I've got two small children at home, and I'm going to take them to the park. Sometimes we go to the park. My wife might go to the park. Her mother might go to the park just to kind of get away from the house, just to do something different, kind of interrupt. Except for this time, we decide to show up. We handle things differently in terms of maybe putting on a sweater, a smile, a hug, a comment. We go for this walk, and we stop, and we get down on our knees, and we play in the grass. We actually get on the slide or the swing. We start doing things we normally might not do. Now, I know some of you are so magnificent you do. This is for the me's of the world, guys who might not do that. We're really showing up, creating connection, miracles. Ramona and I met somebody last Friday night at dinner. Happened to be in town from California. Just a sweet couple. He was at work, and she happened to be in town for a convention. And we talked about this mental rehearsal, this power session. He had been working for a company for years and years and years and never had a raise. He mentally rehearsed, went in and sat down and stepped into the world of his boss, talked about what was going on, value of what he was doing. When the time was right, he said, "What's the possibility of getting a raise?" Well, they recently got back from Hawaii. The boss doubled his salary. Now, I'm not promising anyone on the phone or on the video that your salary is going to get doubled by doing this. But I'm going to promise you that this is something that had been on his mind for a long time. He knew that it needed attention, and he just couldn't quite be present to do it. You're going to find those moments with the people that you're with, customers, prospects. You're going to hear things differently, respond differently. I had a sweet client share with me this morning. She happens to be in the network marketing business. And she was talking about how fun it was to do a power session the other day with a prospect without an agenda. She was told this person wanted to buy her product. When she was in touch with them, they wanted to buy a lesser amount, which was impossible. There's just this amount that could be bought. And instead of being concerned, she just said, "Okay, now tell me about your friend." Stepped into her world, took down her walls of resistance. The person not only bought, but became a qualified executive in her company. That was quite a commitment, huge commitment. So, wow, this is amazing. That was a miracle. Now, she's becoming, for accuracy. But she was so excited to know that when you really show up caring for people, walls do come down. Cooperation does flood out. Miracles do happen. I could tell you more and more and more, but I want you to have your own. Because I can promise you that if you do, as I'm going to instruct, that you'll create one. You'll be able to send me an email, davidogmandino.com, entitled My Miracle. You'll tell it to me before next Tuesday night. So we're going to pick those three times. We're going to begin mentally rehearsing the first one. And let's say it's 10 o'clock in the morning, we do it. Now, at noon, about midday. Now, noon isn't critical, and this isn't about a system. This is just a framework so that we're fully present three times a day. That's why we're doing this. Getting present first thing in the morning, want to get to, choose to, that helps us, assists us. As we listen to the school, that feeds our soul and keeps us on track. As we examine our schedule, it gets us in control of our day. We pick those three times. Midday, somewhere around midday, once you study scroll number 9, I will act now. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. For only action determines my value in the marketplace and to increase. increase my value, I must increase my actions. Physical creation is about being in action, acting without hesitation, acting and fully using our ability, acting and having people put on our path. It is in action, passion-driven action, with focus and discipline and effort. It's all about action. So we read Scroll 9 just to keep us in this frame. Then we finish our last two power sessions. Now we're toward the end of the day. At the end of the day, I want you to read Scroll 7. Now Scroll 7 is I'll laugh at the world. Because man is most comical when he takes himself too seriously. And sometimes we get so intense and have expectations that it didn't turn out that way. And we're going to go through a learning process this week. We're going to find out how tough this really is to be present just three times a day. Just three times a day. So read Scroll 7 and have a good laugh. Sometimes it will be at your own expense, and that's healthy. Then lastly, with a journal, take a few minutes and write down what happened that might not have happened if you weren't this focused. This is where you start to record the little miracles that are happening in your life. Sat down with my daughter today and had a conversation with my husband or my wife or my boyfriend or a good friend. This is what happened. Met with a prospect today. This is what happened. Just, you don't have to make it long. Just a note so you remember. So that you can go back and reflect on this in the weeks to come. So one more quick review. Get in charge in the morning. Want to, get to, choose to. I am running this day. Feed your mind. Scroll 5. Why am I here? I want to get there. Okay, this is what I'm doing. What does this have to do with me getting there? What are the three most important things? Those are my power sessions. Power session means I'm going to show up. No big fanfare, no big production. Just me and all of my genius. I'm going to show up. I'm going to read Scroll 9 midday to keep me engaged. At the end of the day, I'm going to read Scroll 7 and journal. Your objective. Your objective is to be present three times a day. That's the objective. And to be able to, at the end of the day, know in your heart of hearts, you know, you've done all you can do. Not all that could be done, all you can do. Be at peace. Sleep like a baby. No matter what firestorms rage around you, wake up the next morning, take it on. And do the same thing again. The mission is to do this for 7 days. I am so excited to get your emails. Subject line. Subject line is my miracle. My miracle. Let's turn for a moment to Scroll 9. I love this line in the opening paragraphs where he says, action alone is the tinder which ignites the map. Because he says the map without action is no value. The parchment, the scroll, my dreams, my plans, my goals, it's what lights it into a living force. Action is the food and drink which nourish my success. Now, I want to share one other line with you. This is a critical line in today's world. We have a tendency, many of us, to vividly visualize really big whammo-bammo dreams. And so important that when we do, that we work our way back retrospectively. What I need to do the next year, the next quarter, the next month, the next week, the next day. Take a look at that and say, can I do that? Can I sustain that behavior? If you can, you've got a good goal. Now start the process of creating it. Just as soon as it's reached, you can raise it. That's what Og tells us in Scroll 8. Let's start there. Sometimes when we take one of those big goals and we work our way back, it is so overwhelming that we spend more time thinking about it than doing. Hogg talks about this. He says, only actions determines my value in the marketplace. And to multiply my value, I must multiply my actions. I will walk where the failure fears to walk. Sometimes that failure has been me. Remember in scroll one, today I shed my old skin, which had too long suffered the bruises of failure and the wounds of mediocrity. Sometimes we're choosing to walk where we would not walk yesterday. This isn't about someone else. It's really talking about us. I will work when the failure seeks rest. I may have some thought processes that want to quit. I'm not going to. I am in charge today. I will talk when the failure remains silent. I want to connect with people. I'm curious. I want to step into their world. I may not have felt that way yesterday, but in my power session I can, because I'm letting go of my fear, which has held me back. I'm acting in spite of my fear, and the flutters in my heart are vanishing because I'm embracing my genius. And then he makes this comment. I will call on 10 who can buy my goods. Now that's a metaphor. It could be actually purchase, or could bring my dream one step closer. While the failure makes grand plans to call on one, I will say that it is done before the failure says it is too late. We see this often amongst real estate investors, where they're putting together a $2 billion hotel complex in France, and they've never purchased a single-family residence as a rental. For now is all I have. This is an interesting piece, because tomorrow, at this same time, it'll still be today. A week from now, it's still going to be today. A year from now, it's still going to be today. Today, this now, this moment is all I have. Tomorrow is the day reserved for the labor of the lazy. I'm not lazy. Tomorrow is the day when the evil become good. I'm not evil. Tomorrow is the day when the weak become strong. I'm not weak. Tomorrow is the day when the failure will succeed. I am not a failure. I will act now. When the lion is hungry, he eats. When the eagle has thirst, he drinks. There's no hesitation. Lest they act, both will perish. And we can say, and so will I. Success will not wait. If I delay, she'll be become betrothed to another and lost to me forever. I wasn't planning on doing this tonight, but I was just thinking about, and Ramona probably knows where I'm headed. I'm hoping that I can find it here in just a moment. I think I can. I wrote a poem a number of years ago, sitting at the office. And I was thinking about, oops, that's not it. We've got to keep going. Here we go. Okay, mental creation. Aha. Aha, there it is, right in front of me. I was sitting at the office one night. I was pondering that very paragraph about the lazy and the evil and the weak and the failure. And I penned these words. Just have some fun with this tonight as we wrap up our coaching session. If you take L-E-W-F, lazy, evil, weak, and failure, and I wrote those down, it became an acronym, LEWF, L-E-W-F, don't be aloof. Different spelling than don't be, like, unavailable. Don't be aloof. I'll read this to you. It says, I'm not lazy, the LEWF said with a smile. It's all figured out. Got it filed in my file. If I spend all today relaxing, I'll bet I'll be rested and ready evil? The loof said with a grin. How could you utter such nonsense, such sin? Wait till tomorrow, as idle minds would. It'll be out of my system. Tomorrow's for good. So my productivity's a little down this month. And last month, last year, I mean, haven't you had a slump? Weak, the loof questioned. You insult me today. I can choose to be strong. Is tomorrow okay? This next paragraph, let us all hear carefully. Success is the banner that hangs over my chair. That could be the books in our bookshelf. It could be something we've written on a piece of paper. I see it. I read it. I shout in the air. Can nobody hear me? I mean it this time. A failure? No. Tomorrow, success will be mine. And so we hear such repetitive oration from loofs who love procrastination. But everyone knows the price they will pay. For when tomorrow is here, it will still be today. No such thing as tomorrow. So, physical creation is the second half. We're going to begin the process. Now, we're going to find as we're going through this that our vision may not be clear enough to drive our passion. That's okay. Then we get to go back and mentally create, either in goal setting, mentally rehearsing. Let's get clear. Ignites our passion. Then let's get in touch with our thought processes. Let's be in charge. Feed our mind with scroll 5. Pick the 3 most important things for the day. Begin to mentally rehearse. Then begin to execute. No big fanfare, just be present. Scroll 9, midday. Finish your 3 power sessions. Read scroll 7. Journal what happened. Have a moment. Celebrate whatever's happened. Let it go if there's something that didn't go well. Sleep like a baby. And repeat times 7. Send me your email, My Miracle. I'll be excited to receive them. And until next week, and next week I'm going to tell you a little bit more about power sessions. We want to take it to the next level, but we want to absolutely do them this week. Create your miracles. Do as many as you can. Let's find out what noise is showing up. Because next week we're going to start the process of taking on the noise. In quality number 4, discipline and structure. I failed at the beginning to welcome all of those who are visiting with us for the first time. So good to have you with us. Please make plans so that you can be back with us next week. As we do this every week, celebration of life, taking on what matters most. Dig ourselves out of those pits of despair and discouragement so that we can see the possibilities, create the most we can with